Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of I Dig Your Soul podcast with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Today's show today is already the 10th of February. Valentine's Day is in 4 days. I did want to say I am so sorry for your loss to Paul Clark. He lost his cousin, and it's not easy to lose people that are close to our age. It's a hard, hard thing to swallow, and it sure brings the value of life back to our brains and back to our hearts, and may he rest now. May he rest, and may your relationship with him be even closer, because that happens. And we always remember all the good things that somebody has done, and they live on through those good and great things and words and experiences. And a part of that goes back to successful relationships, having good relationships and being able to live in that goodness for the rest of your time. Today, we are going to discuss the unspoken three pillars of every successful relationship. And Liam writes, let me guess, the three unspoken pillars are truth, love, and purity. And Maria writes, truth, respect, and love. I have to tell you, it's different, not different because those go without saying, but a little bit more poignant, a little bit more with an arrow saying, really pay attention to these three things. And the first one, it's all about focus, right? When we shift our focus, I have a couple. They're a great couple. A great couple. I talk to them about truth, love, and purity all the time, whenever there is that forum to speak on it. And yet, when they get in an argument, they tear each other down. They hurt each other's feelings. They try to paint the other as though they are incompetent. And I couldn't figure it out how these respectful, warm, and loving people that would do anything for the people they love cannot give their partner that same truth, respect, and love when they're upset. Or think about truth, love, and purity. They think they're telling the truth. They think they love. But the purity part has fallen off the rails. They're hurting them in a place where they want to be safe. Different couples in 1 week. So about, I don't know when it was, 3 or 4 days ago, I was just so enraged that these people were hurting each other after everything they already know. Because challenges don't show up out of nowhere. They show up because you need them. And we have to challenge the challenge. But I wrote up shows all the way through the rest of this week and Mondays on what I heard. So what would be the first thing that a couple needs to do? And I even thought of like making a poster of it, and it should be in every couple's bedroom. But the first thing should be to focus each other's gifts and what works. Not everyone, to the surprise of someone's partner, is perfect. But then we treat them like they should be perfect because they're our partner, even though they themselves couldn't be perfect if they tried. All we have to do is be ourselves. If one's a little messier than the other, but yet more organized in other ways, then let that be her strength and let that be yours to help more around the house. You cannot turn somebody into you. One way or another, we just can't do that. We're not partners so that we will mold each other. What attracted us to each other was the gifts we had. Even if it was just the gift of gab. But if you can shift your focus on what's not working and build what is working, now you both can fit, kind of like that tongue and groove, right? You can work together, like, wow, they're good at that, that's what they do, I'm good at this, that's what I do. But you're not children to put rules up of how the other person should act. Any kind of nudges, awarenesses, or reminders go to both people. If you were to right now think of the positive things your partner brings to the relationship, you'll see them completely differently. And there isn't no, well, what if, or but they do this, whatever it is. The bottom line of every relationship is being nurtured in a safe place. That's why all the fights you see on all those talk shows, all the questions we get, why can't I get them to fill in the blank? They always do this fill in the blank because they micro focus on that sliver of the weakest link to the point that they break the relationship down. So focusing on your gifts and what works was number one. What is so bad that we cannot make that shift? The second thing was to ask yourself every day, what do we both bring? I know I said to focus, but now ask yourself, what do we bring today? We bring warmth. We bring love. And here you go, Liam, truth and purity. If we can stay there, if we can bring that to the relationship, then we have legs to walk on. If we bring pain, hurt, accusations, blame, pointing out anything that's wrong, you'll lose that person in heart, if not in body. Because who wants to be picked on? Who wants to be picked on every single day? It breaks you down. And if your partner tells you, stop doing this, you are breaking me down, and you don't stop, and you don't listen, it will end up breaking you down too. Because if you're breaking down your partner, you yourself already think you are broken down. And you're trying to fix it by fixing them. And it's just not fair to yourself. Who wants to be the police of another person? I need this way. I need that way. Yes, I loved you for who you were, but now that I know you, I need you to do this for me to be happy with you. And if you could imagine wagging finger, because I'm sitting here and I literally just wagged my finger in the air by myself. Because that's what I have seen and heard in this past week. And I'm like, wait a minute, that stuff is still going on? Where's the disconnect? Focusing on gifts and what works is way harder than picking on someone. Asking yourself, self-accounting to your relationship, what do I bring to this relationship? And hitting a home run with what you bring, instead of fighting the elements of everything you've done wrong to show you've done something right, are two completely different energy exchanges. One breaks the relationship down to smithereens, and the other one gives you fuel to keep going. If there's one thing you ever remember about anything you do in your life, and I say it to myself all the time, I say it to my kids. Positive begets positive, and negative begets negative. If you're negative, you're going to be really good at being negative because it's only going to get better over time, right? It's going to get meaner. It's going to get harder to deal with, harder to live with until you have nothing left to give. Your gifts are gone. What works is gone. So the three pillars aren't that simple, are they? When we start to think about what we're losing as we think we're gaining speed. Ask yourself every day, what do I bring? And then if your partner comes to you and says, oh, but you left this or you did that. So, yeah, and I also did this and this and this. Hey, sorry that bugged you or bothered you. Can you believe this? My Siri, I don't know if any of you heard it, but my Siri was activated on my phone and asked me what I just said, basically didn't understand me. That's pretty funny. It's always listening, right? Maybe that's recording our shows. But what you bring to your life is what you will share. It's what you will share. So what are you bringing? What are you bringing to your life today? Out of all the things you could choose to bring in, what are you bringing in? And if someone comes and tries to shake that rug under your feet, what are you going to do about it? Just say, hey, that may have happened, but look at what I've brought. I think I'm ahead for today. Make light of it. Make a joke of it. Make love of it. I'm not perfect. I never claim to be perfect. Sorry. So that the person who needs the argument that comes and is chasing you down is not rewarded through an energy exchange that they need to be angry in. Because you are bringing a different factor to the energy exchange, and that's your positive to beget positive instead of the negative that's just going to drive you both into a hole. One of the people, one of the couples said to me, you know, I was just exhausted. I was exhausted talking about it over and over and over again. I just can't take it anymore. Why does this keep happening? Why can't we just be happy? I said, well, you can. But you guys got to focus on what's working. You got to focus on your gifts. Got to see what you're bringing into the relationship so that when you are getting torn down, you can challenge the challenge. This isn't a question of whether or not you love each other. This is a question of how you're choosing to live with each other. So focusing on what works in your gifts and what you bring to the relationship will lead you to the third pillar. I feel like the first one's too, focus on what works and your gifts. But it's just the way it is. Because the third one is, you fight for the relationship instead of yourself. If that person comes at you and hurts your feelings, instead of saying, you did this to me, say, do you realize that when I get accused of things, true or not, perceived or not, perfect or not, it's hurting our relationship. Do you think there's another way we can do this? Because, you know, we're in this for the long haul. Do you really want to chase me around, tell me what I'm doing wrong all the time? That was one of the couples. And the person that this is being said to really doesn't like to fight. I know that sounds funny. But she just doesn't like to fight. So it exhausts her when it happens. He thinks he's helping, keeping her in line and fixing her. He doesn't see what he's doing. And a lot of times when we were raised a certain way, we walk into our relationships and you're just invited to the family of how they did things. And it worked for them, but yet you'll hear later, well, there were a couple of years I didn't talk to my mom or I didn't talk to my dad. There was a lot of estrangement that happened within those families. One of the women didn't talk to her mother for years. And her mother was like a quasi-celebrity. To her for years. And then wondered why in her relationships, when there was an issue, they didn't talk because the punishment was the silence, the weapon. So when people have a fight as youngsters with their parents and it's about who's going to win, that's your template right there. That's what you're going to do. Doesn't just show up out of nowhere. So what I would put on that little saying in every bedroom is focus on what works and our gifts. What does each of us bring to this relationship? And fight for our relationship, not for ourselves. God bless this home. Because what I found is it's super hard when we're mad to control what we say. But that saying that you can't put the toothpaste back in the, or at least not easily if you've ever tried, don't say it in the first place. Having the kind of awareness, just having it and saying, I'm not going to do that. Do I want someone to come to me and point out everything I've done? Because I do know I'm not perfect, but why do I want them to be perfect? Why do they have to live by the standard that I myself cannot live by? Because that's where you will heal. Because whatever's not healed in us, we're going to dump it on other people. one word at a time, one action at a time, one silence at a time, we are going to dump it on another soul who will take it from us. And then if they take it, we come back with blaming them. And then after we blame them, we each take our corner. And then until a few days go by, and you kind of relax a little bit and you miss them, now you come crawling back trying to fix what's happened. And that may work the first time, second time, third time, 100th time. And then that 101st time, the other person breaks and says, oh, geez, come on. The saying, the straw that broke the camel's back. People leave because they're exhausted at times. And yet, those are relationships that were worth saving. And then they go out into the world and they try to find someone new, only to find themselves back in that place again once they matured to that point in their relationship. So if there's anything I love doing, is bringing awareness early on so that you can see that you're doing it. And Liam writes in the chat, do you think that we've been taught as time has gone on that we need to be perfect, whereas in the past, maybe your parents' generation, they fought harder to keep relationships alive? I'm not suggesting we should stay in toxic situations, but sometimes our generation doesn't seem to fight for the relationship because they perceive perfection we must live up to. Kinda an instant gratification need and an inability to sustain through hardship. I'm sorry if I'm misrepresenting the truth, but I heard people say this about millennials. It's funny. Okay, so trigger word here is millennials. Unless you are one, and unless you know one, because I have two kids that are millennials. They're 28, and my daughter will be 31 this month. It's hard to believe, like I say those numbers, and I'm like, oh, wow. But they are. And I know all their friends. And I know when I hear them talk, and they just want to work. They want to build their lives. They want to get married. They want to have kids, just like I did. Maybe in a different way. And I've taught them, a lot of my daughter's friends even will call me. I'll work with them. It's funny, the people that are closest to me don't really read my stuff because they hear it all the time. It's interesting how that happens because I'm like, oh, you should just listen to my show. I did a whole show about it. They're like, well, just tell me. And I'm like, no, it's a half an hour. You go listen to the show. I can't remember every word of it. Not like a parrot. Just put it on when you go for a walk. And we laugh. But the old me may have tried to do that because of that whole perfect thing. We don't want criticism. We were taught to be perfect. Everything was about for perfection, that last detail. And that was ego selling us a bag of rocks. A bag of rocks. We had to go back and reteach millennials a lot of truths because we sold that group of people illusions, which is why they got the reputation of wanting everything in a hot minute. And if they didn't get it, they just moved on. And now if someone comes to me and they're in a relationship that I know isn't going to work out, I don't say, hey, your relationship's not going to work out. I teach them how to work through the issues. And if they can work through them, they may be able to stay together. I never make that decision or choice for people, but sometimes I get that feeling and it's super, super strong. And I may say to them, very cautiously, but to both of them, not to one of them, that maybe the stem of their problems is they're trying to turn the other person into their dream person. And that person may or may not exist. But if you keep coming back to that point, something keeps telling you that this is 95% but not 100%. And that's the one position you don't want to be in going into a marriage or into an engagement. Because what happens is if you aren't with the person you feel like, this is the right person for me, one day you will meet that right person, and it may be after you're married instead of before, and now you may have children by now or whatever your life pans out to be. And two people that I've guided through, not two people, two couples, that I guided through the mechanics of their relationship. One, believe it or not, didn't actually have any kind of, I want to say, fighting going on. It was actually kind of quiet. And they didn't know what was wrong. And what was wrong was they weren't connected enough to even be emotional about what the other person was doing. It was almost like the person just filled a space for the other. That was unusual because most of the time people will come because they're fighting and they say, okay, it's finally gotten to the point where we have to pay attention. We are not focusing on what works. We are not focusing on our gifts. We are not both looking at what we bring to the relationship, and we definitely are not fighting for the relationship. We definitely are each in our corner with our boxing gloves on, waiting for the bell to ring, and then we go at it until one of us is on the ground. The only problem is when it's just the two of you, there is no referee to stop you. There's two things I really don't understand in life is why don't we teach emotional health in schools? Why don't we have a place for people who are getting married or dating? Why don't we make that normal instead of the illusion of the sports car and the good-looking guy and the beautiful woman? And they don't even look like that every day, but we're going to look like that. And we wear ourselves out trying to be who no one can actually be. It's interesting to me. But focus will change every relationship we have. It's all about what we want to see and how healthy enough we feel inside to see it. Just another angle on relationships. You guys, I love you guys so very much. I hope you have a great day, and I will see you tomorrow on Dream Theme Thursday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the I Dig Your Soul podcast. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.